from Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Joe Palca reporting. A general says Ramadi is liberated. Iraqi Army spokesman Brigadier General Yahya Rasool announcing on state TV the city of Ramadi has been liberated. The Iraqi security troops have raised the Iraqi flag over government buildings. This 7 months after Islamic State militants captured the capital of Anbar province. Iraqi military leaders, however, conflict in their assessments of success in the western city. The general, of course, announcing that Ramadi had been liberated. However, the head of military operations in Anbar, General Ismail al-Malhawi, said that parts of the city remain under ISIS control. Australian National University scholar Amin Saikal speaks with VOA about what's happened in Ramadi.
I think it is a major loss for the Islamic State and certainly an important gain for the Iraqi forces as well as the U.S.-led international coalition, which has been providing a lot of air support to the Iraqi forces.
No reliable casualty reports, and it remains unclear how many civilians are in central Ramadi. That is a city 100 kilometers west of Baghdad. An Iraqi spokesman has said most residents had taken shelter at a nearby hospital. A twin bombing in the Syrian city of Homs killed at least 19 people on Monday, with a suicide attacker detonating an explosives belt as onlookers assessed damage from the first blast. The explosions hit the central city's Al-Zahra district. The precise death toll remains unclear, with Syrian state media reporting 19 people killed and the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights citing 32 dead. Scores more were wounded. This is VOA News. At least seven people were killed Sunday as the Nigerian army repelled another Boko Haram attack on the Borno state capital of Maiduguri. Soldiers reportedly stopped suspected insurgent fighters on the outskirts of the capital city. Village homes were set on fire. The Sunni insurgency has killed 20,000 people in the last 6 years and driven millions from their homes. South Korea and Japan have reached a deal, settling the controversial historical dispute over Japan's forced prostitution of Korean women, euphemistically known as comfort women, during World War II. Jeff Kingston, an Asian studies expert at Temple University in Tokyo, speaks with VOA.
Leaders in both countries have seized the initiative and they've cut a deal that they think they can live with. And so the Japanese government has agreed to pony up a little over $8 million, and this will be distributed to the 46 surviving comfort women. Some of the details, however, remain rather vague. And so, you know, Prime Minister Abe is going to issue a heartfelt apology. But over the past 20 years or so, when they've argued about this issue, Seoul has always insisted that the Japanese government acknowledge state responsibility, legal responsibility, rather than just moral responsibility. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out with the Korean public.
South Korean President Park Geun-hye had all until recently refused to even meet with Mr. Abe until he offered a sincere apology. Officials in Afghanistan say a suicide bomber struck on a road near Kabul's airport today, killing at least one person and wounding 13 others. The Taliban has claimed responsibility for the bombing, which damaged nearby buildings. The attack comes one day after Pakistan Army Chief General Rahil Sharif visited Kabul to prepare for fresh peace talks with the Taliban. China's parliament has passed a controversial anti-terror law requiring foreign technology firms to comply with government requests for information. The official Xinhua news agency said the law was intended to address terrorism at home and help maintain global world security. VOA asked Monash University China expert Bruce Jacobs about China's contention it's a victim of terrorism.
There's no question that China has been victim of terrorism. I mean, there have been some incidents where lots of people have been murdered in train stations and in other contexts. There's no question. The critical issue, though, is why have these been caused, and what has the Chinese government done to cause this terrorism? And the main reason is because China's been extraordinarily repressive in places like Xinjiang, which has a majority Muslim population. And the actions towards Muslims there have been very repressive.
No immediate comment from the White House. Joe Palca in Washington.
That's the latest world news from VOA.